You know, you see some interesting things when you're out canvassing and door knocking for the Lord. And I saw a sign on one of the doors that said, Welcome-ish. It said, Welcome-ish. And under that, it said, depending on who you are and how long you're staying, right? Welcome-ish. And a door is a symbol of protection and security for those who are on the inside of the door. But on the outside of the door, it's a barrier or separation to those on the inside. The spiritual leaders of Israel considered themselves to be the shepherds of Israel and the gatekeepers, proverbially. John chapter 10 presents a metaphor about sheep. Now, I won't bore you with all kinds of things about sheep. You've heard it said that sheep are dumb. But the main point here in John chapter 10 is that sheep are also defenseless. Sheep have no ability to growl scarily. Sheep have no ability to use sharp claws to defend themselves. Sheep don't even have the ability to stand on their hind legs to try and make themselves larger to predators. Sheep are entirely dependent on their shepherd to have a good life or to even preserve their life. And so we read in John chapter 10, verse 1 through 10, if you'll stand with me for the reading and honoring of God's word. We see a lot about sheep and sheepfolds and shepherds, and we're going to look this morning at this in this great I am statement of Jesus Christ. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, it's just truly, truly, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus continues here, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, hide me behind your word today. Hide me behind your cross. Lord, let me only speak that which becometh of thus saith the Lord. Father, we ask that you would help us today hear it clearly, see it clearly, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The door here, some versions may say gates, but the Greek word is thorough, and there is no gate here. And so that's a very big understanding from the King James Version of the Bible, is that this is not a gate, this is a door. Jesus does not say, I am the gate. He says, I am the door. Why is that important? Because you're going to see here that there were no swinging gates in Israel at that time for sheep. And so it's much more than that. This word thorough in the Greek, this word means a portal or an entrance, an opening or a closing. Shepherds didn't go home at night. They camped out with the sheep. And they usually would camp out in a sheepfold if they were a good shepherd to keep the sheep safe. Usually it was a cave or some kind of a makeshift shed. And if they didn't have any of those things available, they would go into a large grassy area and they would build rocks or branches up to 8 to 10 feet around the sheep. And at the top of that, if they could find them, they would get branches that had thorns as kind of a semi-barbed wire to discourage any predators from trying to get into the sheepfold. The sheepfold was a safe place as well because it only had one entrance. It only had one way in and one way out. And so there was no gate because the shepherd became the door. The shepherd would lay in the entrance way and became the literal door. To get in or to get out, something had to go through him. If the sheep were enough, sometimes multiple shepherds would get together and put them in a sheepfold, and then they would take turns at the door or being the door, and that's actually where we get the phrase gatekeeper. And so that's how gate got into newer English versions. It's not necessarily wrong, but you're going to see why door and gate are different. But they would be the proverbial, the real gatekeepers there. And so in our text, the porter is the gatekeeper. You saw there that the porter would open it, this worker, so that the gatekeeper would open the door, but only for other shepherds who had sheep in there. We're going to look this morning and we're going to see three groups in this great I Am statement. Three groups who are all actually individuals, and we all fit in one of these groups. Really, we can only fit in the two first groups, but we're going to see that this morning here very quickly. Back in your Bible in verse 1, who are the thieves and the robbers? Number 1, who are the thieves and the robbers? Truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. The thief is anyone who tries to get to the sheep by avoiding the shepherd. Those who try to come in another way. People who try to get to God, but leave Jesus out of it. You heard me say last week, and I'm sure you saw in the news, that the Pope says there's all kinds of ways to heaven, all different religions lead to God. And the Word of God says, no, there's one way. There's one entrance. There's one door. And Jesus says, I am the door. You know what we call this in our law, these thieves and robbers? We call it breaking and entering or criminal trespass. Getting in somewhere where you don't belong, that you have not been invited into, and you get in some other way. What I realized about breaking and entering and criminal trespass is nobody likes a thief. Yet, folks will try to thieve their way into heaven, thieve their way. World religions, these are thieves and robbers, those who would try to send themselves to heaven by their works, by their abilities. No, there's only one way. There's one door, and his name is Jesus Christ. Anybody who comes another way, read your Bible. It's what it says. I wish I had a Bible reader here this morning. It says, if you try to come another way, listen to me this morning. If you are trying to get into heaven, if you think you're going to heaven because you are a good person or because you've been baptized or because you go to church, the Bible says you're a thief and a robber because you must come through that door. But there are also false prophets or false Christs who proclaim other ways. So there are people who proclaim other ways. Look at verse 8. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. So there are these false prophets and false teachers, false Christ, false religions, false methods or ways that people are trying to get in. And he says, if you're promoting that, if you're preaching that, all those people who preach that Jesus plus something plus baptism, they're all thieves and robbers, according to the Word of God. All those who say that you can say a Hail Mary or pay penance or do enough to get baptized, to get somebody that's dead out of purgatory, all those are thieves and robbers, according to the Word of God, because there's one door. Look at Matthew 7:15. Beware of the false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. That's Jesus speaking. Look at Acts 20 and verse 29. Paul writes to us, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And shortly after Paul's departure, we start to see the seeds of the Roman Catholic Church and other religions. And remember, Judaism was already there, but Judaism had already gone corrupt because that's who Jesus is talking to. And so all other world religions, except for Christianity, say there are multiple ways. And that's what Jesus says. Those folks are thieves and robbers because there's one door. Sometimes they'll look like sheep and they'll act like sheep and they'll talk like sheep, but they're actually wolves. They won't spare the flock. Look at verse 10. Now, this is a metaphor, but in verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill. But watch this. We often attribute that to Satan, don't we? We say that's what Satan does. But the truth of the Word of God and what Jesus just says is, even though it's an accurate characterization of Satan, Jesus wasn't talking about that. Jesus says the thief is the one who tries to come another way. Even sometimes some so-called Christians who have believed that they've gotten entrance into heaven through some other means, through their baptism, through their good works, through their penance. And Jesus says those are thieves and robbers. They've come to steal and kill. And those who promote those kind of preachings and prosperity gospels, those who promote those kind of things are false prophets, and they are wicked, and they're thieves and robbers. And they're coming. And why does he say they're coming to kill and destroy? Because those who would follow those false prophets or those false beliefs or those false religions will die in their sins. Number 2, who are the sheep? Look at verses 2 through 5. Who are the sheep? But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. And the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You know, we often wonder as Christians, Bible-believing Christians, we wonder off, and Jesus calls us and tries to get us to stop being backslidden and tries to get us to repent because he's trying to call us and keep us away from stranger danger. He's trying to keep us away from other voices to keep us safe. We like to blame the enemy, but often we are our own worst enemies as Christians because we pay attention to the voices that are not our shepherds. We pay attention to the news media's voices. We pay attention to authors' voices. We pay attention to other Christians or other outside things. We pay attention to social media's voice. And Jesus is trying to call us and draw us back and bring us back in, but not just outside voices that get us in this condition. We are the sheep of his pasture, but our pride gets us away and gets us hearing our own voice and our own self-will, our own self-wants, our own selfish pride. And you know what it is? When we're not in our word, when we're not praying, when we're not faithful in our church attendance, what our pride is saying is, I can do it without the shepherd or without the sheepfold, which puts us in the midst of thieves and robbers and the predators. When we don't go into the sheepfold, when we don't stay inside of the protections of God, then we open ourselves up for predators to come and attack. Good news for the sheep is this: Jesus is the shepherd. Amen. We're going to look at that next week. He's the good shepherd. But Jesus has gone before us in all things to give us a better way. Look at verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Jesus has gone before us in all things. Watch this. Jesus went before us in every difficulty. Look at Hebrews 4 and 15. You think your life was hard? Jesus has already went through it for you and I. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You said, oh, my life is hard. Oh, I don't have this, I don't have that. Jesus lived it out. Jesus went before us in every pain. You know this verse, John 11, 35. Jesus wept. Jesus felt the pain and the agony of the Jews around him when Lazarus had died. He lived through pain. Look at Isaiah 53 and 3. It's called the suffering servant. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid it, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Jesus felt grief. Jesus felt pain. Jesus felt betrayal. Jesus went first in all those things. He even went first in death. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 23. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. He's the first one. And for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. See, the order is Christ died first. Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Then we come second into death. But you know why you don't have to be afraid to die? You know why? Because Jesus already died. He already did it. And so something that somebody's already done, I'm less afraid to do. It's harder to be a trailblazer, but it's easier to follow someone. Listen, this is just the truth of the Word of God. It's so much easier to do something after somebody has prepared an example. And if there's no example, there's no outline, there's no way to know how to do it. When you have instructions, when you have confidence that something's been done before so that it can be done again, listen, now you have this opportunity to say, well, I can do that because they did that. Jesus died. And so then it makes it famously, understandably for us in our death. Look at Psalm 23 and verse 4. You can probably quote it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know why I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and not fear? Because Jesus has already died. But as we sang this morning, he lives. And so Jesus not only went before us in death, but he went before us in eternal life. Look at Acts 26 and 23. That Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles, should show a way that he already has died, but he's already resurrected. And so we know that if we be dead in Christ, if we be hidden in Christ, then we shall also rise with Christ in everlasting life. See, verse 9 is not a metaphor. You look at that verse there. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. To go in and out means to be living your life in this saved fashion, to be following the Lord. And when you do that, you're going to find pasture. And the word pasture for us in the Bible means walking in the Lord's provision. When you're following the sheepfold and you're following the shepherd of the sheepfold, You can go in and out of the door. Jesus has free will for us. We're saved. We still get to behave how we decide to behave. We have free will. Amen. If right now I decide to run off the stage and run up and down the aisle, that's up to me if I do that. God knows if I will, I won't because I'll be out of shape. But he knows that if I'm going to do it, but he won't make me do it. And so we're able to go in and out, living after him, working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We get to decide whether we'll sin or whether we will follow the Lord. But listen, if we do follow and we stay in his pasture, then he says there's many blessings. The provisions of God are abundant and they never run out. Amen. But then we major this morning. But who is the door? Well, you know it's Jesus, but look at verses 7 and 9. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. This would have completely shifted the mindset of all those Pharisees and scribes and leaders of Israel who were there, because they're saying, no, we're the leaders. Remember all throughout Jesus' life, they're saying, follow us, do what we say, do this. They call themselves the rulers of Israel. There's only one ruler of Israel, by the way, God, the God of Israel. But Jesus says, right in their face, no, I am the door of the sheep. You know what he was saying to them and what they would have understood this as? I'm the Messiah. I'm the Christ, the chosen of God. And so I came to fulfill Moses and the law and the prophets. And they didn't want that. They're like, no, we Master Moses. They said Abraham. And Jesus is like, no, it's me. Look at verse 9. I am the door. He reiterated, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. This is not a metaphor. This is biblical truth. If you enter in through Jesus, if you come through, think about Jesus, the depiction, laying at the door, and the only way in is through him. Listen, John 4:14, we're going to get there in John 14:6 later on. I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? I am the way. There's no other way but through this door. But let's guess what? It's not a door like that door, or a door like that door. Jesus is the physical door like those sheep. You have to come. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Some versions say, but through me. Either way is accurate in this sense. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Not if any man enters in through baptism. Not if any man tries to enter in through Allah Akbar. Not if any man tries to enter in through Hinduism. Not if any man tries to enter in through Buddhism. Not if any man tries to enter in through the Pope. Not if any man tries to enter in through good works. No, if you enter in through the door, then you shall be saved. And then you can go in and out and find pasture. Then you can have the provisions of God in your life. You know what the door wants for us? You know what Jesus wants for us? Look at verse 10 in the second half of that, really. The thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. But look at the second half. But I am come that they might have life. The sheep, that I keep them alive, I keep them safe, because the sheepfold is built up. And if they're in here and they'll listen to me, I'll lay in the door and protect them from anything that would come in to harm them. And I'll protect them from trying to get out and trying to go out there where the predators are or the wolves are. And listen, I've come, but not just to give them life, but that they might have it more abundantly. The word abundantly in the Greek is perisos. It means beyond life or beyond the norm. It's everlasting life he's promising to us, that if we would come, he's come to give us everlasting life. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and to give us life and to give it more abundantly. It literally means to have excessive blessings beyond measure. That's what Jesus came to do. The thief comes to take, Jesus comes to give. What's unique about this door? It's not a welcome-ish door. It's a 100% welcome door. In Christ, all are welcome. No one is too far gone, but they must come by this door. See, in Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man, the door was closed to God. They had this beautiful existence in paradise. They had an open relationship with God where they could go and talk to God. God would come and talk with them. But when they sinned, now there was a door placed. And this door was a door of closing, of separation, a barrier to where they no longer could fellowship with God the way they once fellowshipped with God. But Jesus knocked the door down. See, the veil, the temple, was a symbol of separation and a barrier holding us back from the presence of God. After the children of Israel sinned back in the book of Exodus, after they had built the molten golden calf that Aaron fashioned, if you remember, then God said, okay, listen, I'm going to destroy Israel. And Moses, I'll build a new nation with you. And Moses cries out to God and says, no, don't do this. The Egyptians will say that you just brought them out here for mischief and your testimony will be blown. No, you swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and God repented of it. And God said, okay, but here's what we're going to do. When we're going to put the tabernacle outside of the camp, it can't be around them because they're too big of sinners. And no one's allowed to come out there but you, Moses. And when you come in, I'm not going to have the cloud there or the fire there anymore. When you come in and all the congregation of Israel stood and they watched Moses walk into the tabernacle, and the Bible says, and Joshua left not the temple or the tabernacle, but they walked there. And what was there? There's a barrier. God put a barrier. Because of sin, there is a barrier in us getting to God. That's why we often say if someone's not saved for eternity, they're separated from God, which you've heard me say is not true. God is everywhere because he's omnipresent. So even in the bottomless pit, God's presence is there, but it's the presence of God's wrath, not the presence of God's grace. Because even when they couldn't get to the tabernacle and get to the presence of God, they just couldn't get into the glory of God, but God's present everywhere. And so what did Jesus do for us? These barriers holding us back in the garden, the barrier holding us back in the Exodus, the barrier holding us back by our birth. We were born sinners, original sin, because our dads are sinners. The bloodline passed to us. We're all sinners. So there was a barrier even at your birth. But good news is, not anymore. The veil was rent too. Because if you've come through that door, everybody's welcome to come through the door, which is Jesus Christ. The Greek word that we used here today for door, it's 39 times in the New Testament, and watch some of these times. Look at Matthew 27, verse 60. Matthew 27, verse 60. And laid it in his own new tomb, Joseph of Arimathea, taking Jesus, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher, and it departed. So Jesus was separated from the rest of the world in his death. And the apostles couldn't get in. And the ladies, remember when they're walking on the first Easter, they're walking to the tomb and they say, who's going to roll us away the stone that we can go in there and prepare it? Look at Matthew 28, verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and the door and sat upon it. It's symbolic. When Jesus rose, the door, the literal door, rolls the stone back. And so now there's an opportunity. So when John and Peter came, they were able to run down and go into the sepulcher. And it means that Jesus Christ, the door, has opened the way, the only way, to get out of sin and bondage and out of death and to come into life and to have that life more abundantly. Look at Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. I got good news for you today. The door is standing open in heaven, friends. Today the door is open in heaven. After this I looked and behold a door was opened in heaven. Now this is the revelation, so these are things that haven't happened yet. John saw them, but they're still to come. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. We believe that to be the rapture, but either way, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Watch this. Today, the door is open. You'll hear me sometimes at Invitation say, the doors of the church are open. I don't say it all the time, but it's a proverb to say this, that I know there's only one door, but understand this. Whatever portal, whatever way that God says that, the Bible says that the angels carry us into the presence of God, whatever way they do that, I don't know, I've never died before, but I know they do it. That if you'll come to Jesus with a contrite spirit, broken and understanding that without the shepherd, without this door, there's no way into his presence, then the door is open even right now. You ever heard someone say, my door is always open to you? When I first got an office here, I said, I have an open door policy. If anybody from the church or any staff needs to talk to me, just come knock on my door. And if we need to talk, it's an open door. I'm not going to tell you, no, I won't talk to you, or no, I won't meet you with you. What it means is it's always open. I'm always available to be able to talk to you. But much greater than that, Jesus says salvation is always available if you'll come, if you'll come through the door. All other religions or gods require individual sacrifices to come into the door. All other religions, you can search them out. We've done studies on world religions, but every other religion, world religion, requires individual sacrifices to come into the door. The Church of Latter-day Saints, you've got to go on a missions trip in order to get into heaven. The Jehovah's Witnesses, you've got to be one of the 144,000 in order to have this. The Catholic Church, the true Roman Catholic Church, you have to do many things. First of all, is you have to be a Catholic. Nobody else goes to heaven in their mind. All you Baptists aren't going to heaven in the Catholic's mind because they say, no, you have to be Catholic. There's many other religions. The Islamic states, they believe that you have to do certain things, you have to pray certain things, you have, if you have the ability, you have to make a trip to Mecca, you have to go into Saudi Arabia, and you have to do these things, and if you don't do that, then you can't get into the presence of their God. Listen, in Hinduism, you can't eat cows, and listen, praise be to God, I'm not a Hindu, because we don't praise the cow, we eat the cow, amen? But listen, in Buddhism, you have to do certain things and reach a heightened state of understanding and all these things. Christianity, Jesus Christ, is the only God who requires no individual sacrifice, but this God made the ultimate sacrifice and requires no sacrifice from anyone, only that they come in through that door. It's the only one in the world. It's the only one in history. Think about when Jesus is saying these words. He's living in a place where there's gods of multiplicity. Even though the Jews recite the Lord our God is one, they didn't really believe it because they had the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and Rome. And they were following all kinds of things. They were thieves and robbers. They were following everything. They had corrupted the word of God and even tried to trick Jesus up in it. But Jesus, being the word of God, always got them, and they had no other way. And so they ultimately killed him because they couldn't beat him. They didn't want to join them, so they said, well, we have power. That's what they said. We have power. And even Pilate said, no, not that I have the power to set you at naught or to crucify you. And Jesus says, you have no power, except if it came down from my Father in heaven. You know what he was saying? He said, I'm the door. I'm the way. You can have these multiple gods. You can have these multiple ways, but they will not work. But I want to close in this morning. Look at John 10, 27 and 28. We'll look at it again next week, but I want you to see what Jesus gets to in this. Now hear me today. Those of you who believe Jesus is the door, those of you who have come in through him, again, listen, you've not believed that your baptism saved you. You've not believed that being a good person has saved you. You've not believed that because somebody told you when you were a little kid you got saved, it saved you. You're not believing because you go to church or because you've read the Bible or because you pray every once in a while. You're not believing any of that. That's a thief and a robber. But you believe that only because you came to Jesus repentant and now you've lived for him and you followed him, that's why you know you're saved. Now watch. Jesus says, remember who the sheep are? He says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. There's coming a day where many people are going to say, Lord, Lord, and he says, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. There's a lot of people even in church today who think they're going to heaven, but they're not, because they think they've been good or because they think they've done this or that, but they didn't come through the door, so they're a thief and a robber. And the Bible says all thieves and all robbers are going to be cast into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. He says, and I know them. We often ask the question, do you know Jesus? But my question to you today is, does Jesus know you? And he says, watch this. They don't just hear my voice. They don't just get saved. And they follow me. They follow what I ask them to do. They follow my commands. They follow what I ask them to do. And I give them to them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Oh, this door. He made the ultimate sacrifice. So I ask you this morning, the first thing I want to ask you is, do you know for sure that you've come to Jesus through the door and only through the door that is him? Jesus is laying in the entryway. Did you come to him repentant, broken, and sorrowful, begging and pleading him to forgive you so that he would give you entrance into the sheepfold, which is representative of heaven? I ask you, if you are proclaiming and professing that today, Jesus says, hey, these aren't just my sheep that hear my voice, but they hear my voice and they follow me. Jaleese, come here. This is my youngest daughter. There's only one Jaleese in the room that I know. I'm her father, and she heard my voice, and at my command, she came. There was no disobedience. There was no stopping or looking around. She didn't know I was going to do that, by the way. She just came. Thank you, sis. You can sit down. Because she understands, she knows my voice, the voice of her father, and at my command, she knows that when I call, that she is supposed to obey and to follow. If you are a Christian today, or you profess to be a Christian, are you following Jesus? Are you following Jesus? Because to follow other voices leads you to problems, to stresses, to predators, to people coming in attack. Many of our problems we created, the reason why some of us are in the situations we're in, because we listen to other voices. We listen to financial institutes. We listen to educational institutes. We listen to all kinds of things on the media or the social media or to other people who gave us bad advice. And we're not following the voice of the door. We're following the voice of thieves and robbers. Are you following Jesus today? With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to make it a point this morning to be very clear. In order to be saved, you have to come through the door. You can only come through Jesus. There is no other way. If you've been depending on, listen, I don't care if you think you've been saved for 30 years. If you came through another door, the Bible says that's a thief and a robber, and you're not going to get entrance and access to the things of heaven and the sheepfold. Would you be so prideful? Would you be so stubborn to say, no, I did it this way and it's that way? Would you be that prideful and that stubborn that you'd rather go to hell than to be saved and enter into life with Jesus Christ? Today, there's some of you that need to be scripturally baptized. Jesus says, hey, my sheep, I know them. They hear my voice and they follow me. The first step of salvation is, after salvation, is believer's baptism. Some of you need to be baptized today. You need to call upon the name of the Lord. In this sense, you've been saved, but you need to say, Lord, I'll follow you today. I'll follow you into the waters. No matter how afraid I am of it, no matter how scared I might be to be in front of all the people, Lord, I'm going to follow you because I'm only listening to your voice. I'm not listening to the voice of fear, to the voice of others, or to the voice of religion. I'm listening to your voice. I know baptism doesn't save, but I know you've commanded it. As I commanded my daughter today to come, Jesus commands you to come and be baptized. Hey, listen, some of you need to join Assurance Baptist Church. You're not a member of a church right now. And the Bible says you need to follow Jesus. Jesus is the church. He's the creator of the church. He's the husband of the church. We are the bride of Christ. He says, hey, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it because he will build his church. Listen, it is so biblical and so necessary for us to follow Jesus in church membership. But then most importantly, maybe today, would you follow Jesus, not just into salvation, but would you follow him in his word? After you're saved, will you do the things that Jesus has asked you to do? Will you follow him? Hey, if I ask Jaleese to clean up her room today, Jaleese will clean up her room because I've asked her to do it and because she knows my voice, and as her father, she follows me. If I asked her to give the dog some water today, she'll go and get his bowl and fill it up with water. Listen, how much more should you listen to your heavenly Father, who sent his only begotten Son, who died to pay for your sins, that he would be the door, the entrance way. And he says, all are welcome. It's not welcome-ish. It's 100% welcome. The door is standing open in heaven today. Who would walk through it? As the music begins to play, whatever decision is on your heart today, whatever it is that you need to do,